Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on the Book of Job, which is entitled, Is God Guilty as Charged? Job is about to put God on trial. Job is just so frustrated because he has to defend himself against the false accusations of his friends. And it's making him so upset that what's happening is he's justifying himself. And he's actually crossed the line because no longer is Job just saying, Why me, Lord? But now he's crossed the line and he's saying, God has done me wrong. I'm right. But God has done me wrong. Now we're going to hear from Zophar, which is the third of Job's three friends. We've already heard from Eliphaz and Bildad. Now we're going to hear from Zophar because he's the third person. And after this third person gets finished, Job, that's just the end of the line for him. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. So let's listen to the nonsense that Zophar spoke as he makes false accusations against Job. We can see in Job chapter 11 and verses 1 through 6, where Zophar speaks. This is Job chapter 11 and verses 1 through 6. It reads, Zophar the Naamathite answered and said, Should not the multitude of your words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? Should your lies make men silent? Now where did Zophar get this from? How can he say that Job is a liar? What lies did he hear Job tell? What lies did he hear anybody else say about Job? He's just pulling stuff out of the air. He's just shooting from the hip, making stuff up. And he's asking Job, should your lies make men silent? As Job defends himself, saying that he has not sinned and therefore caused all of his suffering to come upon himself. And he was right. Now, granted, Job didn't have God's perspective, because God did say to Satan that Satan had moved God against Job without a cause. So it's a true statement that there was nothing Job did that caused God to unleash Satan on Job, but Job didn't have that perspective. And Zophar, of course, didn't know what was going on either. But Job is defending himself and saying, I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything to bring upon me all of these trials and tribulations that I'm experiencing. But Zophar is saying, well, you're lying, Job, because obviously, if you're suffering, you've sinned. Because that was the approach that Zophar had, is that a true child of God couldn't be suffering like this unless this person had sinned. And that really comes from this health and wealth philosophy that obviously was alive and well way back then, that if you're a child of God and you're walking in the will of God, then no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That I'm blessed and highly favored, that God is going to grant me all of my wishes if I just have faith, if I sow enough seed in this ministry, which just makes the ministers rich who preach this garbage about health and wealth. But that's what these people believe. They were caught up in the lie and deception of Satan the devil, that God always, always will do good things for good people. That is a blatant lie. Sometimes God allows evil to come upon good people, and it's not because they've sinned. It's just because He wants to teach us a lesson. But Zophar couldn't see this, just like many people today cannot see this. So he just was shooting from the hip, making something up. Should your lies make men silent? I'm not going to keep quiet just because you're lying. I know the truth. And yet he didn't know the truth. Zophar continues, And will you mock, and no one make you ashamed? For you have said, My doctrine is pure, and I am clean in God's eyes. But who will grant that God would speak and open his lips against you, and would tell you the secrets of his wisdom? Know therefore that God forgets some of your iniquity. That's like, man, can this get any worse? First, Zophar calls Job a liar. And then on top of that, he says that Job is not being punished as much as he deserves. When he said, Know therefore that God forgets some of your iniquity, he's saying, God is not even punishing you as much as you deserve. He's forgotten some of your iniquity. If God thought about all of your iniquity, you'd be even worse off than you are now, Job. And this just infuriates Job, and it breaks the last straw. And so Job demands that his case be heard in order to clear his righteous name. And this is what Job answers to Zophar. And we can find this in Job chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3. This is Job chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3. Job answered and said, "For truly, you three guys are the people, and wisdom will die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I do not fall short of you. No, in no way do I fall short of you. Who does not know such things as these?" And now dropping down to chapter 13 and verses 3 through 24. This is Job chapter 13 and verses 3 through 24. Job says, and here's where he demands to have his day in court with God. "Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to argue my case before God." And now in verse 4, Job chapter 13, verse 4, that was verse 3. Now we're going to read verse 4. "But you are imputers of lies. You are all worthless healers. Oh, that you would stop speaking entirely." Now that would be your wisdom. If you just shut up, then you would prove yourself to be wise. Because other than that, you're all worthless healers. You're just imputing lies. "Hear now my reasoning, and listen to the pleadings of my lips. Would you speak unrighteously for God and talk deceitfully for him?" In other words, you're claiming that you represent God, but you're not speaking for God. You're speaking deceit. "Will you lift up his person or contend for God? Are you taking his side? Is it good that he should search you out? Or as one man mocks another, do you mock him? He will surely blame you if you secretly lift up persons." So Job is saying, listen, man, you're accusing me of stuff. Who are you? God will do the same thing for you. I mean, if I've sinned, surely you've sinned. So if I'm in this situation, you should be in this situation. So how can you say that I'm sinning and you don't even know if I have? This is what Job is saying here. In verse 12, "Your remembered sayings are like ashes, your bodies like bodies of clay. Be quiet. Let me alone so that I may speak, and let come on me what may. Why do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hand? Though God slays me, I will not wait, but I will maintain my own ways before him. He also is my salvation, for an ungodly one shall not come before him." So Job is saying, listen, I know that I'm righteous, and when I come before God, I know that my name is going to be cleared. If anybody's at fault, it's God. Now verse 17, "Listen carefully to my words, and let what I say be in your ears." Verse 18, "Behold now, I have set my cause in order. I've laid out my opening statements that I'm going to give when I have my day in court. I know that I shall be justified. Who is he that will plead for me? For now, I would be quiet and expire, really. That's what I would prefer to do, is just die. You know, I don't need to go to court, but you guys are talking foolishness, so I'm going to clear my name. In verse 20, "God, please do these two things for me." So now he's speaking to God directly, and he says, "God, please do these two things for me. Then I will not hide myself from you. The first thing I want you to do is withdraw your hand far from me, and let not your fear make me afraid. Then call, and I will answer you. Or let me speak, and you answer me." You see what Job is saying? He's saying, listen, God, I know that you're all-powerful. I know that you can crush me. That's what you're doing now. But I tell you what, if you take away your fearsome hand from me, man, I'm just going to let loose. I won't be afraid anymore if you agree not to crush me when I speak. If you do that, then you can call me and I'll come before you. I'll talk to you face to face. Or you let me speak and then you answer me. And now the second thing he asks from God is found in verse 23. He says, "How many are my iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgressions and sins. Why do you hide your face and hold me for your enemy?" You can just see Job's antagonistic attitude building up against God, because God hasn't stepped in to defend Job. So Job is saying to his friends, listen, I'm going to clear my name. And he's also saying to God, God, I don't need you either. I'm going to clear my name. You're not stepping in for me. That's okay. That's because you're my enemy. But I'm going to clear my name in front of both of you. So Job clearly requests that God be put on trial. And from Job's comments, we can see that the charges are as follows. Number one, God, you will not listen to my voice. Number two, you hide your face from me. Number three, you scare me with dreams and terrify me with visions. Number four, you set me as a target for yourself and hold me for your enemy. Number five, you multiply my wounds without cause and increase your anger on me. Number six, you renew your witnesses against me. And number seven, you shall declare me perverse, though I am perfect. Those are the seven charges that Job made against God. Are you able to make righteous judgment in this case? Did Job cross the line from simply asking, "Why me, Lord?" to actually accusing God of wrongdoing? Did Job's friends hit the nail on the head when they said that Job's tribulations came upon his head because he sinned? Or is there some other reason why Job is suffering? What does Job hope to prove in his case against God? And is God guilty as charged? Those are a lot of questions that we must answer, and we'll do so in our next program. Thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org. Or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.
666, the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Before you can know for sure what is the mark of the beast, you must know for sure the identity of the beast. I will reveal to you from the pages of the Bible the identity of the beast during two free seminars entitled, What is the Mark of the Beast? The first one will be held on Thursday, January 18th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Wesley Chapel Library, which is located at 2861 Wesley Chapel Road in Decatur, Georgia. The second seminar will be held on Thursday, February 1st from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Covington Library, which is located at 3500 Covington Highway in Decatur, Georgia. For more information, call 404-412-0032 or log on to our website at www.christianambassadors.org. Please don't miss this extremely important seminar, or you might miss the opportunity to escape the wrath of God that comes upon those who receive the mark of the beast. This message is sponsored by the ABCs of the Bible radio program.